My name is Chuck. I have a new life in Christ. I'm in recovery for pornography, control, comfort, and this week, letting the cares of the world choke out my joy in Christ. Good to see everybody tonight. I want to kind of remind you of what we've been doing. So we've been engaged in this series called So Great a Salvation. And the heart behind this series is that a Christ-centered recovery plan will feature Jesus as the leading actor in the drama of life transformation. So we would say that the believer's struggle with sin and suffering are ultimately redeemed through all that Jesus has achieved through his perfect life, his substitutionary death, and his victorious resurrection. So tonight we want to look and explore the idea that God has always had a people. This is called ecclesiology. Ecclesiology literally is the study of the church. It comes from two Greek words meaning assembly and word. To put those two things together, it is the study of the church, reminding all of us that the church is the assembly of believers who belong to God. So I want to introduce this idea with an experience that I recently had. So a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Mississippi and go to the Central Mississippi Correctional Facility in order to film Better Man lessons from a prison ministry perspective. Now, if you're not familiar with Better Man, its goal is to provide a clear definition of biblical masculinity that makes marriage, parenting, work-life relationships, literally everything better. And so while I was completely bought into the purpose I was there, the thing that I love the most in settings like that is to be with those men, to hear their stories, to understand how God has moved in their life and what God has done. I was excited about being there, but completely unprepared for the experience I was going to have. And so I had a conversation with a guy that I will just call Pops. Pops had been incarcerated for 58 straight years. I want you to let that sort of sink in. And I also want to tell you, I had no desire to know why he was there. But my desire was, how did Jesus get a hold of your heart? I watched him as he worshiped. But the thing I watched him the most is he had this stream of guys that would come, young guys, sit next to him. And you could tell what they were doing was they were soaking up wisdom from this man that had walked with the Lord a long time. So I finally got to sit with him. I said, tell me your story, Pops, but more importantly, tell me how Jesus got a hold of your heart. And here's what he said to me. He said, when I first understood I was going to be incarcerated for probably most of the rest of my life, I was angry. And for about 12 years, I didn't do anything but just live life on my own terms. But I came to the realization I could not live that way anymore. And so I found a good brother on the unit who was a faithful follower of Jesus. And I went to him and I said, listen, I've known about Jesus, but I've never given my life to Jesus. What does that mean? And he said he took me through the book of Romans and he started walking me through passages of scripture. And then he came to this passage in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, not you might be, not you could be, not it's a distinct possibility. It says you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. He said, I did that, and Jesus became the Lord of my life. And then he said, hey, you know you've got to have some other people around you to help you do this. He said, what does that mean? He said, you got to go find the church. And he said, I looked and I said, are you talking about that chapel where the people sing songs and they hear sermons? He goes, oh yeah, that's a part of it, but that's not the church, bro. The church is a community of believers that surround you, that love you, that encourage you, that walk with you when life is hard, that hold you up when you don't think you have any strength to stand. People that will be with you in the best moments of your life and people who will be with you in the worst moments of your life. And he said, man, for the last 40 years, These brothers have been with me. They pointed me to Jesus when I wanted to go my own way. They've helped me build my life on the solid foundation of Jesus and his word. And at 80 years old, I want to share that experience with every young man that comes near me. God has always had a people. Friends, let me tell you something. When you walk in a prison and you see the church alive, the church well, the church doing what the church is called to do, you are reminded that God has a people and God has a purpose for his church. Listen to these words from Ephesians 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. You're also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. And listen to what it says about that cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So in these verses, the Apostle Paul beautifully illustrates the transformation that occurs when individuals come into a relationship with Jesus and become a part of this body of believers. He uses this metaphor of a building to describe the church, emphasizing it's not a physical structure, but a spiritual entity that is intricately connected to the person of Jesus Christ. And there are characteristics that this church has. Look at the first two. It's identity and belonging. Paul speaks of a radical shift in identity and belonging. He uses words like formerly estranged and alienated, but now integrated into this community of faith. And I want you to think about what happens here on Monday night. It echoes what occurs here. People walk in this room isolated, alone, disconnected from anything that really matters. And they come from that brokenness to a place of acceptance, belonging, and shared identity, which leads to a second couple of characteristics. It's about foundation and cornerstone. Paul emphasizes the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ as the chief cornerstone. It is Jesus that holds that foundation together. And so in the groups that we're in on Monday nights, we're always saying, hey, it's not regen that changes you. It is a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus. And as you build your life on that solid foundation, Jesus becomes the cornerstone, the thing that holds together both your healing as well as your restoration. See, the church is not merely a human institution, but it's a divinely ordained entity established by Christ himself. It's why in Matthew 6:18, Jesus declares, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. They will not overcome it. The church is founded on the person of Jesus Christ, indwelt by the Spirit, and composed of believers united in faith and purpose, which leads to this last idea of unity and transformation. You have this imagery of a building coming together as a holy temple in the Lord, which illustrates the unity and transformation that occurs within each of us, the body of believers known as the church. The church exists to worship God, to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples, to demonstrate God's love and compassion in the world. It's why Jesus, when he's leaving instructions for his disciples, says in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, he commissions his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The church literally becomes that shining beacon into the world that says, look at Jesus. Look at what Jesus has done. Look at what Jesus is continuing to do. As you walk through the steps, you'll come to step 11, intimacy. And there is a day in that step that talks specifically about how the church, how all of us help one another become intimate with Christ. But then you come to step 12. And in step 12, you have these words. Because of our new lives in Christ, we carry God's message of reconciliation to others, and we practice these biblical principles in every aspect of our life. Friends, God has always had a people who represent him as non-compromising followers, people who live authentically and courageously, a people who are salt and light. Literally, when they step into the world, they step into their community as salt and light, they make things better. Not because of any power that they have, but because of the power of the Spirit that indwells the believers that comprise this entity that is known as the church. That is who we are. God calls us to live out our new life in Christ in the church, enmeshed as God's people, the community of the saved. I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. If you don't have a church family, would you consider identifying yourself with a local church? For instance, this Thursday, the Watermark Community Church is having a membership class. And we would encourage you, if you don't have a church family, let that be a place you can start. There may be some in this room that are part of the Watermark South Dallas campus. You can talk to their staff about their next membership opportunity. But listen, if you go to another church, but you've never placed membership there, figure out what that looks like. Let that be your next step of faithfulness. And if you have any questions about any of that, have a conversation with one of your leaders or one of us that's got a regen tag or even the regen staff. They'd be glad to help you, assist you, and point you to your next step of faithfulness. But let me also say this. There are those that walk in this room that have a church hurt. The church has not acted in the way that Christ would have them act, perhaps in your life. And you have been wounded. But let me say to all of us, we're all a work in progress, aren't we? All of us have to learn how to forgive. And all of us have to learn how to hold things loosely. Take a step of faith. Don't isolate yourself from God's church, God's people, all that God is trying to do with them, through them, as well as in you. Years ago, I was listening to this song, and there was a poem or something in the middle of it. I remember grabbing my pen and writing down these words as fast as I could. I've kept these words in my Bible for almost 15 years now. It says, God has always had a people. Many a foolish conqueror has made the mistake of thinking that because he'd driven the church of Jesus Christ out of sight, that he'd stilled its voice or snuffed out its life. But God has always had a people. The powerful current of a river is not diminished because it's forced to flow underground. The purest water is the stream that bursts into the crystal clear sunlight after it's forced its way through solid rock. Oh, there have been charlatans who, like Simon the magician, sought to barter on the open market this power which cannot be bought or sold. But God has always had a people. Men who could not be bought, women who are beyond purchase. There have been times of affluence and prosperity when the church's message has nearly been diluted into oblivion by those who sought to make it socially attractive, reorganized, and financially profitable. It has been gold-plated, draped in purple, and encrusted in jewels. It has been misrepresented, ridiculed, lauded, and scorned. These followers of Jesus Christ have been, according to the whims of the times, elevated as sacred leaders and martyred as heretics. Yet, through it all marches this powerful army, God's chosen people that cannot be bought, flattered, murdered, or stilled. On through the ages, they march. You, the church, have that opportunity tonight to be that people chosen by God. It's interesting. Paul says that this treasure of the gospel is placed in these jars of clay. You know, in the ancient world, the one thing that was true of a clay pot, when you put liquid in it, it leaked. When the gospel is in us, the church, the gospel ought to leak into every relationship, every entity, every conversation, every place we go. It's what it means to be the people of God. And tonight you get to hear the story of one who's experienced that kind of grace in his life, as well as one who has lived with God's people, the church. Would you welcome my friend John?